Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in League, Tony Abbott's pissed off that Paige Spironak has done more for gay conversion therapy than he ever could.
Stockholm Syndrome has its name updated to St. George Syndrome as Dragons fans talk themselves into Woodsy.
Adam Reynolds begins his Broncos career with the same impact he consistently gave South. None, because he's injured.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for Round 1 of the 2022 NRL season.
All that and more this week in League. Welcome to episode number 444 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
I'm Jay.
And I'm a Glenn.
You're on, Glennie. You're on. You're back.
Oh,
I tell you, before we started recording today, Glennie was very quiet. He didn't say two words. He was very quiet. A little bit cranky, but brought him back with some fucking wholesome family chat.
All it took was the riddle of how rigor mortis set in before death.
And it didn't make it into one of our lines, but anyway, they were set on that stage.
It's still 30 weeks.
Boys, we are... it's come to that time where the footy is about to start again, finally, after... We have quite a long off-season. These players, they'll have their mad Monday and they'll duck off, but you know, with our member sides... Straight through, baby.
Just working.
There's no off-season.
We're professionals.
Information.
Fucking no. Summer league. How good.
Yep. But now we're back. And we're back for the real deal now because footy is finally back. And we've decided that there's no news fit to print today. So we're going straight into the fucking games.
Let's go.
Round one, tomorrow night. And I tell you, is it just me or has it actually snuck up on you or...
No, because it's March.
Okay, yeah, like, and we're recording on Wednesday night. We're recording the Flash Show. I know that, but
so what the fuck is your point, mate?
Until the kickoff happens, it's like I believe it's fucking real. It's a weird sort of build up. I don't know if it's pandemic, all the other shit that we've had to deal with, like fucking flooding and the rest of it. I don't know if it's all that sort of thing, just been, you know, just ripping the focus elsewhere. But shout out to our Twill Nation members and friends in Sydney that appear to be at the moment copping the same treatment that we copped a week and a half ago. I wish you all the best down there, folks. I hope you're not getting too flooded out. And, we look forward to the day where Sydney and Brisbane listeners can join hands and rejoice when this torrential downpour fucking washes into the fucking ocean.
If there's one thing, yes. Like how good are Sydney and Brisbane people at dealing with adversity? Like they've had to cop so much adversity over the last 24 months. Sydney people and Brisbane people. New South Wales people and Queensland people, like, just hold your heads up high. You've been through such tough times, and the rest of the world looks at you, and is proud of how you've carried yourself. So
it's funny, like Brisbane or Queensland and New South Wales people, I haven't seen any talk about their premiers being jailed. Despite the fact that New South Wales Premier resigned under the fucking under the shadow of heavy shadow of corruption.
Fraud, corruption.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I haven't seen in Sydney or Queensland, unlike our fucking frittata third cousin, there's been no protests claiming that the floods are fake.
It's true.
You know?
Although, I mean,
tested like, the water. You know, it's definitely wet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as mentally challenged as some and factually challenged as some of those protesters could be, they'd have a lot of fucking... There'd be a lot of gymnastics involved to somehow...
Oh, yeah, see, you know that video...
The fact that Rock Lee's underwater.
The video they said was Rock Lee. That's actually Botswana in 1985. So, fake news.
Yeah. Right. Now, games, boys. Starting up tomorrow night, Thursday night, the two best teams in the competition. Why not start with the fucking cream of the crop? The Penny Panthers taking on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles out there at Bluebet Stadium. Now, what do you make of this game, Glennie?
Fucking cracker to kick off. And I note that some of the more traditional matchups of, you know, for round one are no longer.
Yeah, I mean, now the NRL is just like, hey, we're a business. Let's fucking go with what fucking earns.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to force the fucking 15th, 16th place of Broncos down people's necks. Now, I mean, this game does it has had a slight sheen taking off it with a couple with players like Nathan Cleary and Josh Schuster and a couple of other guys that you know we would all hope to start the season off.
You didn't. Massive outs, such as Nathan Cleary. Definitely agree with you. Josh Schuster. Are you putting them on the same level?
He's practically the rookie of the year. He's basically Nathan Cleary in 2025.
Jay, how are you sitting there with nothing to say with this fucking... How am I jumping to the defence of... How am I more offended than you?
Because I am all on my 2022 vibe.
Oh, fuck. You know
he's
what?
He's sitting at the Dairy Queen, mate.
Motherfucker, go back to being the same cunt you've been every year that I've known you. This is not you. I don't like it.
I'm loving this 2022 vibe. I'm loving it.
How am I going to point out that I'm actually enjoying every time that Nate says that cunt's name? It sounds like a disabled kid talking about his female sibling.
Oh, we're away. We are away.
There goes the star.
Oh, so good. I don't know that Penrith can get the job done without Cleary.
Glennie, I just want to bring a couple of things up to you for discussion.
Oh, are these fucking ridiculous as the first point you made?
Defending premiers, mate, at home, they had to play a significant portion, second half of the season, more or less...
Yeah, but they had Tyrone May then, mate.
They haven't had the chance to properly celebrate the premiership with their own people. This is their fucking homecoming party, this game. There's no way they can fucking lose this game. It just means too much to them. I'm not saying it's their grand final, but it's their fucking grand final celebration.
I've heard you play this tune before, Nathan. Some would say if there was a greatest hits CD that come out of you and the tunes that you fucking play, this would be track one. This bullshit. I'm not falling for it.
Track. What is this track? What are you saying?
Nate fucking trying to give all the credit to the opposing team and lull them and their fans and the listeners of this show into a false sense of security. So then when Manly win, as I think they'll do in this game, you come out and then fucking start chirping. And if they lose, you're like, well, I fucking told you.
I'm flattered. That you think that what I say has any bearing on the fans, players... at other organisations of the Penrith Panthers.
Nate's greatest hits.
Flattered.
Available now on Spotify.
Back to the actual important stuff. Is it just me, or does our replacement for Cleary look like an Aldi James Tedesco?
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree.
You're right. They did play a lot of last year without Cleary, and they did exceedingly well without him. They did have, you know, a fair substitute in Birdo. Although, to be fair...
I also think the utility value of Capewell in these times as well is probably something they'll miss.
But they didn't use that ready-made replacement in Birdo. They used Tyrone May.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing Sean O'Sullivan is not, it's Tyrone May. So
that's a good thing, right?
You know, the first couple of rounds.
It's funny that you can think of it either way, though, right, Glennie? I mean, like, it could be. I mean,
I guess we'll see.
Positive things in the selection committee of the Panthers for round one, and the off season was one, kicked fucking Tyrone May to France.
Yeah.
Two, Taylan May's not is not going to be playing this week. So I think there's one you can certainly say a lot about a Cleary-less Penrith Panthers side, but you can also say a lot about a Mayless Penrith Panthers
that's
side.
It. That's it.
And I'm not saying they balance out.
And I think this game's going to be important for Penrith to really get out there and put their identity for 2022 in there. And that being just that forward pack that's going to work and work and work and work and really knuckle down in defence. It's a big mission first up, obviously against the top three best attacking players I've seen in the last decade.
Do you think Penrith's game evolves to a great degree? I don't. I think the rest of the comp is trying to
not at all
morph into what they do.
That's their game, the only way their game changes.
Maybe not the Manlys and the East, but certainly everyone below that.
Their game only changes based on, some of the slight tweaks to the rules, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. Clear is a big out. But again, the first couple of games of the season, fitness is going to be an issue. Everyone's had different levels of disruption in the off season in terms of who had COVID, who didn't, who's coming back from that. I'm actually a little bit concerned about any effects of long COVID. I know we've had athletes in other sports around the world, have COVID and come back from it successfully, but I would argue that none of the sports they're in take the physical toll on the body for the length of a game that rugby league does.
Mm.
So it's going to be
particularly like that effect on cardio fitness.
Yeah, stamina. And longevity over that 80 minutes. So, but you're right. Cleary being out's a big one. Capel being out's a big one as well. But there's some kids there that are stepping up now and need to be part of that 18. Overall,
how much rain are they copping out in the west at the moment?
Let me have a look at my weather application.
I have seen they've been getting absolutely flogged more like sort of in the east of Sydney, like around coastal sort of areas
Camden's flooded. Parts of Campbelltown's flooded. About Penrith.
Enough that if you watch free-to-air television, expect about 1,000 fucking Moses jokes every time Leota touches the ball.
Right. And I suppose the Parramatta game's going to be similar in that respect. Okay, well, yeah, it's also like there are just like historical things that I can't look past of this game as well. As like Manly never start seasons well. Manly don't play particularly well in the wet. And I feel like we're going to have both of those things in fucking spades. And the other thing, I'm worried a little bit about the fitness of some players, but I mean the injury status of some players. Like Marty Tapau barely, I think, got back for this game after the injury he sustained in the trial. Homoli,
FYI, no rain forecast for Penrith for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, at least they'll have a day to dry off.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about how I heard that Foran was like, touch and go to make this game. So it's not necessarily the cardio fitness, but just
to be fair, Foran's touch and go to make every game.
Yeah, he sailed through last season pretty well, though. I mean, that was, certainly you could say his time with the Dogs.
Para.
Well, Para, I mean, what time with Para? You last longer in bed than he lasted at Parramatta.
Fantastic.
So, I have a better time in bed than he had at Para, though.
Oh, 100%. all right. Who you got, Glennie? You say Manly, are you?
Yeah, I say Manly.
Oh, and I'd say Stepdad is supremely confident in the kids at, getting Panthers home.
13 plus. Book it in.
And I say Manly by 30. And that's what my tip is. So I've basically fucked myself out of the margin portion of the tipping competition in round one. The Canberra Raiders are taking on the Sharkies, the pub slot game on Friday down in Canberra. this game, both sides had their moments in the trials, and I've given more credit to the Sharks than I've ever given in the history of being on this show for the way that they dumped the dead wood at the conclusion of last season. I'm still amazed. It is the single most impressive dumping of dead wood I think I've ever seen in an off season. And I guess it's time to see
they've replaced it well.
Mm.
Like, you know, the addition of guys like Finucane.
I think Finucane is going to be so huge for these, you know, like your Tody Rudolphs and like guys like that who are clearly talented players, but they just go through these periods of drifting in and out of games. They get lazy. You know, they're not probably as fit as they should be. Across a season, I think that that Finucane's influence on those guys is going to tell, like, in a positive way.
Yep.
I think there's a few different, few new combinations for both sides, especially Cronulla. But I think Canberra at home this early in the season, I think Cronulla will take a bit of time to warm in to the style of play that they'll fall into under Fitzgibbon. A bit more consistency in that regard for Canberra there at home. I think Canberra will win.
Yeah, I found this one when I was tipping this one. I found it really difficult to come because obviously Canberra have some great forwards, but that also plays into the strength that the Sharks have in their side as well. And I wonder if they sort of nullify each other a little bit, and that Whiten will, you know, by and large have to do it himself, I think, as far as the focus of a lot of Canberra's attack, whereas the Sharks, I mean, Nicho Hynes, he may not gel with Matt Moylan in the halves round one, and I don't think they spent any time at all playing together in the trials, did they?
Did Moylan play in the trials?
No, it was mostly, I think it was Trindle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So while, you know, I don't expect them to have a combination, I mean, Nicho Hynes it already seems like he's building up an understanding with Will Kennedy. And not only that, he can just do brilliant things by himself anyway. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of favouring the Sharks, but, you know, that would be so out of character for me. But, yeah, I don't know who I actually tipped. I should actually see who I did put my – yeah, and I went the Sharks. So there you go. It's locked in for me. Stepdad.
Yeah, look, I don't have any faith in Canberra's mind. I need to see some very different late game behaviour or close situation behaviour from the Raiders before I give them absolutely any chance of doing anything positive this season, because they were a clusterfuck last year, and it's already started. All the reports, like the tarpony stuff's come up again. Yeah,
you got the Ryan Sutton stuff.
Someone else's girlfriend's this.
Yeah, like,
that sort of stuff. For that to be the culture of that club,
it's not necessarily even the culture of the club, but it's the type of coach and the type of person that Ricky Stewart is. Like, Sutton announces that he's going elsewhere next year, and so despite being a better player than a couple of the guys in the side ahead of him, Ricky just spitefully drops him
100%
for round one. And, like, sure, it's not really the Wags' place to get on Instagram and start fucking gobbing off about it either.
Look,
but
at least Russell Westbrook's a previous MVP winner, you know?
So you're going Sharkies as well?
I'm going Sharkies.
Nice. Okay, the late game on Friday, the Brisbane Broncos take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Suncorp Stadium, and it's incredible that it's like 10 days out of being underwater and they're good to go for a game of football. Yeah. Both of these sides obviously, you know, have some common, you know, common experiences in this game, and that is that they're paying their halfback to play and he's injured. So this time it's the Broncos. it's the Broncos cross the bear, and so they'll be going in with Billy Walters and Albert Kelly in the halves.
I've got to say, Reynolds is obviously a big out for the Broncos, but Billy Walters is potentially going to have a far more detrimental impact on the Brisbane Broncos by way of his inclusion in the side. he is
now, obviously there could be the accusation of nepotism there, but as someone who has, you know, probably witnessed the play of Billy Walters more intently than the rest of us.
He's enthusiastic in attack, and I give him credit for that. And he's quite a skillful player, more you know, just a guy that's on the ball and plays with a lot of enthusiasm and energy. Unfortunately, that energy doesn't carry across to his defensive duties, and is easily one of the biggest defensive liabilities I've ever seen play first grade consistently. And I think Cody Walker, oh, he's fucking horrible. And I follow the West Tigers, mate.
Yeah, that, I could see Stepdad's face. Yeah. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, even in a side that includes your mate.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
He's fucking terrible. And right, so and if they
go on his way, huh?
And yeah, and if they have him defending on an edge, Cody Walker and Kaloa Matangi, they'll have him all at sea, and I think South will win convincingly as a result. Yep.
I mean, South still have the you know, more than a nucleus. Like, they still have, like, a massive chunk of a side that, you know, came close to the grand final, you know, winning the grand final last year.
Yeah.
You know, sure there's been a change of coach, and, like, you know, losing their halfback is massive, especially when they're putting, like, a kid in to fill that void. Mm. But, yeah, I still think they've got way too much for the Broncos to handle.
Agreed.
It's tough when the dynamic of their halves was what it was. Yep. As in, Reynolds was the controller and Walker was the creative, if you like, to put an untested kid in there. That's going to be the toughest bit. Souths just have enough sheer athletic talent out the back to get this one done very easily.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, moving on to Saturday, the Sydney Roosters take on the Newcastle Knights at the SCG. The Newcastle Knights blow early in the season, losing their hooker again.
Mm.
Yeah.
Also losing their best forward. DSAF, Glenn, I see the confused look on your face.
Sorry, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was looking at the rest of the forwards and going, fuck, it wouldn't have to be that good to be the best, but one of them.
Yeah. The Roosters side, yeah, they're in pretty good shape. They're in the best shape they've been in for a full year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, honestly, they got Connor Watson slotting straight into the nine for his revenge game against the Knights. How much are the Roosters going to win by?
Oh, this could be one of those early season, well, sorry, one of those blowouts that you see at the back end of the season, and it's going to happen in round one. I don't know that the Knights have enough. I don't think they have enough to stem the tide of points that the Roosters are capable of putting on them, and they certainly don't have enough to test the Roosters' defence and put points on them, put them under pressure. So I think the Roosters will have it all their own way.
Yeah, I mean, that spine of the Knights, I just don't, like, as it stands, they just do not have it. And I like Jake Clifford as a player. I mean, he was great leading up to his departure from the Cowboys.
Great.
And he had some good moments as well for the Knights after he started with those guys. But it's just
he's not that guy, though, right? He's not that guy that's going to take on the Roosters and single-handedly turn the game.
Certainly not in round one in a new combination as well. And I'm not saying the combination is not going to build itself as the season goes on, but round one, you know, I don't have much hope for him.
Not at all.
Righto, Warriors versus the Dragons. This one up at Sunshine Coast Stadium, and the Warriors side, a new look, old look Warriors side with Sean Johnson there in the seven, partnering Cody Nikorima. The Dragons, very new look, because as the Sharks got rid of the dead wood, the St. George Illawarra Dragons certainly scooped a bunch of it up. So, what do you make of this one, Glenn?
It's like a fucking an ark made out of dead wood crashed in St. George Illawarra, and they just fucking swept it up and made a football team out of it. Fucking ugly. I don't like their side at all. Andrew McCulloch, is he still playing? I don't think the Warriors are going to be a great side this year, but they'll certainly be better than the Dragons.
You reckon they'll be better than the Dragons over the course of the season?
Maybe that's just me wanting them to be because I can't stand the Dragons or their fan base, but I'm going to go the Warriors.
Yeah, the Dragons are a tough one for me because they've got that clear dead wood in guys like Jet Ski and Aaron Woods. Moses Zumba is not necessarily Deadwood. I mean, there's utility value there, but they're paying too much for what they're getting from him. You know, I mean, they're paying way too much to be a 14.
First time in a long time someone's mentioned St. George Illawarra and Tough in the same sentence,
but
even as a joke.
Yeah. But they've got some great young players that I think build the nucleus of, you know, a side that can, you know, definitely improve going forward, like, you know, like Amoni and Sloan in the fullback. I'm not a fan of Cody Ramsey at all, but Zach Lomax is, yeah, he's great. I mean, he could finish the year, he's like a top five center.
You remember, he was banging on Origin selection last year. And I know that that's during the Dragons classic, you know, early season table topping performance. But what I feel the Dragons lacked last year was any sort of combination or consistency. Where as soon as Lomax and Dufty would start to learn to play together, you know, one of them would do something stupid and just go off on a fucking tangent by themselves.
Yeah, or they'd be getting, in Lomax, they'd be getting injured, or Dufty just be getting, you know, in out, you know, dropped again.
Yeah, that's it. I don't see this Dragons forward pack doing anything of substance for 80 minutes. And I think the issue with having such young kids that they've got is that they really need a platform laid. If you're going to run that Dragons back line, you want a fucking top-notch forward pack to pick them up when they fuck up. Because at that age, your floor and your ceiling are further apart than they are as you mature as a player.
And if you're relying on your back line rather than your forwards, you're going to need a back line that's tough and gritty. And
that's it.
They're too young.
And I cannot understand the logic in starting Aaron Woods. I mean, I just feel like starting Aaron Woods is conceding that you don't have
now, here's the
two
thing, right?
Or three better props.
I was talking to a Dragons fan this week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And all the other people in his fucking punting group. Yes, I am talking about the Dragons fan you think I am, but I wasn't last time because I thought that I had recently heard some of the most cooked takes about anything in life come out of this person. Until I heard him say, "Oh, Woodsy's all right at the price we got him for."
No.
So
if Woodsy was free, it's still not all right.
If there is any impact to your salary cap that prevents you giving that money to another player, and I guarantee you, he will average directly letting in one try per game. If I came to you and said, hey...
And a play the ball fucker.
I'll tell you what. For your team this year, you're going to have $200,000 less salary cap than everybody else, and you don't start each game at 0-0. You start each game at 6-0 down. Is that a good deal? Fucking no.
Well, this is the thing. Even if he was free, I mean, there's still a cost. Everything has a cost.
There is an opportunity cost. Well, that cost is 6 points. Fucking hell.
Yeah, no.
No. Dragons are specials for the spoon.
Come back to us, Zebby. Come back to us, mate. You've gone too far. The West Tigers take on the...
What was that movie where Brad Pitt went fucking like crazy with the Native Americans? Because he saw his brother in the barbed wire in the war?
Oh, Dances with Wolves, yeah. No, I love that movie.
Oh, fucking hell.
Fuck, Lenny. One of your best.
It's got Anthony Hopkins in it.
I like how you... I know it was rhetorical, but the fact that you're pitching that in a conversation involving me...
Brad Pitt looked absolutely beautiful with long blonde hair.
As soon as he started speaking, I felt like Brad Pitt in that movie, seeing my brother in the barbed wire. Twitching.
Right. West Tigers, versus the Melbourne Storms at CommBank Stadium in Parramatta. The West Tigers side. Okay, Glenn. So the big thing with the West Tigers is that they're going to be without Dewey for a period of time, a significant period of time, a season-endingly significant length of games, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got like about mid-season?
I don't know exactly the number of weeks at this stage, but we've got to do without him, our captain, my captain, or one of.
The positive side. Dane Laurie's there. You certainly missed him when he was out towards the tail end of the season.
Definitely.
And you hope you had of, you know, beating some of the minnows you're up against went out the window with him. What do you make? Look, I know you that you're not going to be confident in round one, surely, right?
I'm a realist. You know me. I've never been one in all the years that I've been on the show. I've never been one to talk the Tigers up in round one.
Yeah, right.
It's not my thing.
Who's getting a hat trick, Lee? Is it Gildart? Is he the
could be Gildart. MI6.
Or is it Kenny Malmalo?
MI6, the Secret Service from England. He's going to surprise everyone. His little silent assassin.
Is he?
No, probably not.
What good would a noisy assassin be?
I'm here to kill you.
My sister.
I'm going to kill you and your sister.
That's going to stick with me for far longer than it should.
Hello, it's the Loud Family Assassin. Is he from Melbourne?
Oh, Betty loves a potato cake.
Gonna kill you so you don't get 5G.
Keep going so I don't have to talk about this game.
your thoughts over the season, fine. Round one against the Melbourne Storm. Melbourne Storm obviously with some, you know, key losses as some of the quality players in the squad gets further eroded. This year is probably what, the last dance, maybe? Because there's a lot of guys.
To be fair, though, boys. To be fair, you look down that list of Melbourne Storm players. There's a few guys getting through on reputation. You got Pappenhausen, you got Jerome Hughes. I don't know. There's a lot of attack.
Oh, so they're not the guys that are getting through on reputation.
No, those guys. I think they're brilliant players, but
yeah, right.
It's a steep drop from them. When you look at the Tigers' backline, it's fucking scintillating. Absolutely.
I'm looking at the Tigers' backline, I'm looking at the Storm one, I'm going, yeah, look, you know, you're right. some of those Storm guys, I mean, you know, they've certainly at other clubs, I mean, they haven't delivered a heck of a lot. But then I look at them matched up against the Tigers and look at what they've delivered over their tenure in the NRL. I'm like, well.
Why you gotta respond with facts?
Hey, Glenn, the Tigers are paying as much to win this game as they are to make the eight.
So that falls into the more you put on, the more you get back territory.
Just amuse yourselves while I put a quick bet on. look, you're right. In all seriousness, we are building. I'm keen to see how Jackson Hastings goes. I think the Tigers have a lot to prove to themselves, to their fans. Some fairly disillusioned people leaving Redcliffe. September last year, I can tell you.
A 38-0 drubbing to the dogs will fucking do that to you, though.
Correct.
Fuck.
So, you know, to their credit, they've made some changes. There's a couple that I would have liked them to have made, but they haven't. Nofaluma's still inside, so that's one to work on. I think they need to come out and be competitive and put a strong showing against the Storm.
Where are you playing? At home?
No, Parramatta, CommBank.
Wankfest.
So you guys only have a 33% win rate at your home ground.
Yeah, but I mean, is it really our fucking home ground?
It's not real. I mean, yeah, it's not.
Yes, it is. Your club has decided to make that your home ground.
Listen,
that's your home ground.
I know that your autism would indicate you have to take it very literally, but it's not fucking. Really, it's Parra's home ground, and for financial benefit, No, it's fucking not.
Well, the house that you grew up in was your house once, but not anymore after you move out of it and buy another one.
No, that was the government's house. We just rented it. We just paid a very small amount of rent to live there.
Right, so we're all
strong showing from the Tigers is what I'm looking for.
All agreed the Storm's going to win easily, right?
This is about the worst situation for the Tigers in round one. And it's how unfair, you know, not all teams start the season equally. You look at look at Penrith, for example. They can come out and they could get done by Manly. And it's, we finished off the, fucking premiers last year. No Cleary. First game of the round. Doesn't matter. Brush it off. The Tigers could lose by 2 points and play the best game of their lives against a top-tier side, lose by 2 points, and it's, here we go again.
You're right.
So this is about the worst possible situation for the Tigers to be in.
I've slipped a lazy fiver on Tigers 13+, just quietly.
So, yeah.
Bet with
mates. Remember a couple of years ago, there was the Tigers had this, they had a terrible draw the first month. The Storm and then East, and they actually came out of that period with what, they were 4-0, or they'd won. They'd scraped these games, but they'd beaten these guys by two or dare to dream, Glennie.
Remember that time fondly.
Yeah, they didn't win again that season, I don't think, after that first month, but it was a good month. Maybe the best month they've had since 2011. I don't know.
Sports bet with mates. Tigers 13+.
Yeah, I'm going to decline to be your mate on this one. This is a real Charlie Staines
not the first time you've ever said that, mate.
The Eels taking on the Gold Coast Titans on Sunday afternoon. Same venue. And the Eels, good preseason.
Mm.
Very good hit out against the Panthers in their last trial game. Got their fans buzzing. This year is the year. We're seeing in the papers.
They never say that.
This year. Yeah, they never say that. I mean, so you know that they must really mean it this time. So, the Titans. I can't even remember what the fuck the Titans did in the trials. But as we mentioned in our preseason episode last week, they are rolling with an extremely green spine this season.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take Brimson and Sexton to get it together? Aaron Clark, I've never particularly rated. I mean, I felt like they were using Mitch Rain more, weren't they, than Clark anyway. And Jane Campbell, look, I love how he plays. I love the he's got that enthusiasm of a kid. Brilliant attacking player. But
I don't know if he's put the size on that I was hoping he would have put on in the offseason. He's put some on, it's going to take time.
But against a very settled lineup in the Eels, these guys have campaigned together almost unchanged over a number of seasons now. And I just don't know if it's going to happen for the old Titans.
Yeah, I can't see the Titans winning this game, as much as it pains me to admit it. In order for them to win, Fifita has to have one of those games. But even off the back of that, I think Parra should still be too good.
Yeah, they need Fifita to have one of those games, but at the same time, they also need Moses to have one of those games. And Brown to have one of those games.
Yeah,
and Gutho to have one of those. When I say one of those games, I mean the game up at the Sunshine Coast against Manly.
Yeah.
Where they need to have one of those games, I think, to even give the Titans a chance. The Titans are definitely they're building a side for the future. But I just wonder if the spine players can get up to speed and realize their potential and coincide it with these, glorious years of David Fifita's career and Tino's career. Because it's all to win a comp, a lot of shit has to come together at the same time. And I feel like their spine, it's just starting from too far back.
Yeah, intended.
Round one, very confident the Eels will do the job.
Yep.
Finally, wow. There's that old adage that, you know, save the best to last.
It doesn't this does apply. Not apply.
It doesn't apply in the NRL round one 2022 when the North Queensland Cowboys take on the Bulldogs up there at the abattoir in Townsville. And holy shit. It's really bad to say at this stage of the season before I'm even burned out by it all, but it's tough. It's tough to get up for this game. And when I say get up for it, I mean, like, watch it. Realistically, the Bulldogs already in trouble. I mean, the trumpets are sounding for the potential first sacking of the season for a coach being the Bulldogs coach in Trent. And, like, obviously I'm super, super very much here for that. The Cowboys. Yeah, Peyton, very highly touted. Did great things with the Warriors when he took over as the caretaker for the second half of that season, you know, 2 years ago. Has not happened for him with the Cowboys. And not only hasn't it happened for him, he's had some things as well where, for whatever reason, things haven't gelled with Taumalolo. He doesn't know how to use him properly. He refused to use him the way that Paul Green was using him that fucking worked. Taumalolo had injuries. And then we, you know, there's all of those sorts of whispers. They've brought in, very publicly, new halves combinations, or new halves players. And despite what we saw in the trials, Drinkwater is not there. And they're going to kick off the season with Tom Dearden and Chad Townsend.
Yeah.
In the halves.
Mm.
Look, do you know who the Bulldogs are?
Tell me. Give me the metaphor.
They put on this big fucking show about all their might and all their new acquisition and how big and fucking scary they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're the fucking Russian army. I can't for the life of me find a way to make the Cowboys Ukraine.
Vaguely color scheme wise, if you lighten that blue up.
Maybe. In saying that, Bulldogs, the fucking ruble, they're worthless. And all that we can hope is that everyone in both of these sides suddenly fucking there's a breakout at Chernobyl, Townsville. They all fucking die and each team just gets 2 points when they were scheduled to play them and save everyone the misery of watching these two dumpster fires fight it out for the next fucking 20-something rounds. But I do think the Bulldogs will win.
I agree. I think the Bulldogs will win. This is going to sound like a strange comment, but I agree with everything you said. But I am actually interested to see how Matt Burton goes. More responsibility, yeah. More expectation around, you know, a bigger role to play in a side. You know, as you say, they've done a lot of recruitment, and their expectations from the hierarchy of the club are going to, you know, not just him. Obviously, there's, you know, Addo Carb, TPJ. Guys like that, but I think Burton is the guy they're looking to really spark their attack, which last season was fairly fucking limp.
Did you see the trial best. Game against the Sharks?
Well, I also saw the last round of last season, so, you know, there's points in there.
Yeah, but that trial game against the Sharks, the only points they scored was from Burton stepping and scoring. That was it.
Yeah.
Look, like, Burton's great. Obviously, he's going to take a huge load you know, on his shoulders this, you know, with this side. But, I mean, there were times last year where he did the exact same thing for the Panthers. So, you know, I think he's definitely up for it.
I feel like the talent disparity across the rest of his teammates from last season compared to this is...
Yeah, yeah. But the thing about the Bulldogs is, and, like, you know, being, you know, perfectly serious, the Bulldogs forward pack, like, let's you know, take the hooker out of the equation, but their forwards have the makings of, like, you know, a forward pack that can do something You know what I mean?
There's some fucking penalties in there.
This is the thing. They can do a lot of good things. But fuck me. Hetherington, even Luke Thompson had his fucking moments. I mean, as brilliant as he was in some games.
And
I mean,
Pangai as well.
So I feel like the biggest factor for the Doggies is coaching. And I think that they will be able to build something from about round four onwards when they've got a new coach. As it stands, though, for the first month, it's going to be tough for them. They need a genuine seven. I don't know if their new coach that comes in after, say, round four, if he can sort of resurrect Kyle Flanagan, maybe, because Avarillo isn't the answer.
I'm surprised he's even got a start in round one.
That's
bizarre.
Yeah. And obviously they need a hooker badly.
Don't we all, Nathan?
Yeah. They need a hooker as badly as that dude that fucking left me hanging with a bunch of Star Wars pops. There's a fucking deep cut for you fellas. Now, I struggle to tip the Bulldogs under any circumstances. Only because of watching that preseason, the problem they had last year, with the exception of the game against the Tigers, but the problem they had for most of the rest of the season was a total fucking lack of ability to score points. I don't see. I mean, it's great. Yeah, it's great. You've got Dufty can do things. It's great. You've got Fox, who's amazing. Brent Naden as well, as you know, he's proven that he's got talent as well and can score tries. But who's gonna get them the fucking ball? Like, it's all Burton. If he gets nullified, they will score 0 points.
And God forbid if he fucking gets injured.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't be far off last year.
Well, that just throws him straight back into 2021 with better outside backs.
Again, here's the thing. Part of a great team and the construction of a great team is that it elevates those mid-range players to fringe great players.
Yeah.
Because of the defensive gravity that the truly great players demand. You know, he was lazy and not as impactful as I would have liked, but Burton had, you know, Luai with one of the best running games of any half in the competition. He had Kikau, who with a full head of steam is
one of the hard... Did you say Burton was lazy?
No. Kikau.
Sorry. Lazy. Okay.
But, you know, Luai's there, Kikau's there, and then you got To'o outside him. You know, it's like, you look at South Sydney.
what you're saying though is that Burton may have been made to look much better than he actually is by the threats around him last year.
No, not made to look better, but his job was made easier.
Yeah, right.
Fair.
You know, so when he is the focal point of any defence, well and truly, he's going to have a harder time of it. I think he's got the talent to shine through, but he's going to have a hard year.
Yep. And yeah, this is a tough one to tip.
I'm going Dogs. I don't rate the Cowboys
at all either. But it's hard to see where the Bulldogs score points at the same time. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's like who wins in a game, a potentially nil all situation. Mm. Maybe it's like, you know, Tabuai Fadoo just breaking free. You know, I don't know. But it's certainly looking forward to it being the least enjoyable game of the round.
Yes.
Okay, so that's round one. So that brings us to, like, last week we mentioned we had a mailbag thread going on the Facebook group, which was a really simple brief, and it was just what are you looking forward to for season 2022, whether it be for, you know, your team, the competition in general, and so on. And I think you got people to clarify somewhat, you know, who their teams were. And, like, I don't want to hear anything from people like, oh, I want my team to win the premiership.
Yeah.
I mean, no shit, Sherlock. Fucking everyone wants their team to win the premiership. I mean, that's, like, I take that as a given.
Let me go back. So, Clevo, He said, Nico Hines to give me a wristy in the Shark Sheds on the day ScoMo loses the election and Scott looks through the window and cries and poops his pants.
All right.
There's a lot to unpack there.
What the election's going to be mid to late May, right?
Yes.
So I guess we got to figure out who the Sharks are playing on that day.
That's it. Shunter said, back to back. Surely that's not too much to ask. No, it is not, and it's guaranteed.
Guaranteed, he says.
Guaranteed. Bennett says, Tommy Turbo to play injury free, which means Manly Premiership, Blues Origin win, Dally M and Brad Fittler medals back to back, Clive Churchill medal, and probably immediate entry into the Immortals. There you go.
It's possible.
Jordan said, I just want to see improvement. Cowboys are not making the eight. I anticipate this. At least just give me a reason to hope. No, they will not.
I have grave, grave concerns about the season the Cowboys are about to embark on.
Yeah, that's
for
it.
For reals.
Simon said, home games for the Warriors. Fuck, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Warriors fans, again, I said it last week, overtaken Spoon-era Knights fans. As my tip the hat to you the most, fans.
I should be getting out to a fair few Warriors home games. If they keep more of them to Redcliffe than Sunny Coast, then I'll probably try and head down to most of their Redcliffe games just because, fuck it.
Yeah.
Footy 10 minutes down the road, can't beat it.
I'll tell you what, I'll help you out. I'll get a shirt and throw up on it, and it'll probably look like a jersey that they've worn at some stage. Yeah. So you'll
and then just get a like a Posca pen and draw like a tiki on it, and then throw up on it, and that'll look some kind of memorial, like some jersey they've like one of the 6,000 jerseys they release.
That's it.
I think that one looks like the flannel shirt.
Jai said he hopes that the Knights part ways with Ponga. Look, there's a lot of it in our Facebook group, but are the Knights fan base as a whole starting to come off Ponga? I wonder.
Subset, I reckon. I don't think it's as a whole. He's very protected and beloved by his fan base.
Okay. Troy.
By and large.
Said, I just want to meet Glenn so I can shake his hand. That's wholesome.
That is so wholesome. That is so in line with your 2022 vibes, too.
Anthony, the knoffer of comments, wants the Dolphins to beat the Broncos on the ladder. So... You've rushed up early.
rushed up early, and they really want to sign some players because at the moment they're playing with like about a pack.
No, I fucking appreciate the sentiment, and hashtag fuck the Broncos. Sam said, King Clune, guided by Lord Joey, delivering us a premiership after the overrated blokes Ponga and Gagai are dropped to reserve grade. Another one.
Knights fans are fucking strange, though.
Yeah, wow. Conan. Said Maverick Gaia gets a run in Origin and goes on a shard fueled rampage, creating a huge all in.
I did enjoy his debut in the trial though.
I love seeing,
similar to what we saw last year with Sexton and Jaden and Campbell in the Titans as well. Just kids getting a shot, scoring some tries, and just having a fucking ball. I love it.
That's it. Chris said, I was split between Jared Croker playing a full season in first grade and Raiders winning a premiership. Unfortunately, I don't think I can have both.
Well, he's not there this week either. He's number 22.
That's it. Michael from Strive said, for the Twill hosts to get a lucrative Fox Sports TV show deal so I can get airbrushed as fuck when I come on for my annual episode appearance.
Oh, fuck. Imagine the makeup over the top of his fucking fake tan now that he's balling with all these new signings he's made. Fucking hell.
I'll tell you, you ever drive somewhere and, like, forget to put the radio on? So you find yourself actually, like, just thinking actual thoughts?
In the abyss with your dark fucking thoughts and your natural personality.
You sit there thinking, why is Michael Redpath's forehead so fucking big?
I played out an entire fucking scenario where like the three of us lobbied Netflix or Amazon Prime or one of those like just bottomless money places to pitch for the TV rights to the NRL. I'd been listening earlier in the day to a podcast with Mark Cuban on it,
right,
talking about how the future of sports broadcasting is streaming, and that and that it's the only thing propping up regular TV. And if only sports could realise that they could go to TV and say, we would like all of your money, please. And TV would have to decide to either say yes or become redundant.
Yep.
Like, yep, yes, pay them all the money or cease to exist. Because sport's the only thing keeping free-to-air TV going in America.
It's not far off here.
Yeah, oh, there's enough. Enough people here are fucking hooked on reality TV.
Mate, Neighbours is winding up. Fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you look at the timeline with the hashtags
pretend,
and everything.
That's pretend, though, Glenn.
The amount of people watching fucking SAS and Married at First Sight and...
Yeah.
All of that shit. Okay, yeah. Cunts. Survivor, all those.
That's it. So, and then, so I'm thinking that the downside to that would be that the media, who control the fucking broadcast, would then just go on a rampage and write nothing but negative stories about everything. But the way to combat that would be to, you know, just go and fucking formalize a bunch of, you know, usses out there and just make a new media. like the market in Australia is so fucking small and easy to control that if Amazon wanted to, they could come in and just like force Buzz Rothfeld to toss my salad, essentially. And then I got home, so that finished.
So you finished You finished on Buzz Rothfeld tossing your salad. Got it. Then I got home. Love it.
So the train of thought finished when he came.
That's it. Levi said, for this year to actually be our year, hashtag keep the faith. No.
Like the other guy
said, just one of my Broncos 13 plus bets to come off and Reynolds didn't to stay get, out of did, hospital.
Didn't he get one? I mean, because they were all ridiculous and like didn't he get one last year?
I think one did.
Yeah.
Graham said, Mitch Moses and Parra to fail again. Your wish is granted. Shame. No half-assed knee-jerk crackdowns that ruin a few rounds.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Winston said, NRL chaos off the field, games unmarred by shit refereeing on the field. Mick said, my team did not leave it to the last round to win more than two games. Yeah, that's... Whew. Stuart said, the standard Tigers goal is finals. I think that's a silly thing to want to achieve. I'd like to see them aim higher and maybe they'll get in. It's not where you aim that determines if you make the finals. It's the quality of rugby league that you play during the season. So the NRL Premiership is not a game of darts. If you're hitting the wrong one, you don't just need to aim higher.
I fucking knew you were going to read that one.
You don't need to adjust your aim. Okay? It's the result on the field. That's what matters.
You interject if there's any that you see there, Glennie, that you want to address.
No, I'm enjoying Jay just running with it.
Matthew said, the impossible dream that no ladies are bashed or raped by an NRL player. Yes, wouldn't that be fucking lovely?
Impossible dream.
Yeah. And Thomas said, the Bunnies to perform strongly. Don't expect a win, but the top four would be nice. Less ladder focused. I'd like to see our young guys get rewarded with game time instead of then running our very old players into the ground, in the fear of the young guys messing up. But really, the Bunnies will suffer the post-Wayne Blues, as so many other clubs do, when that overblown coach finishes ruining their roster. Make the eight, just and out in the first round of the finals. Fucking hell. There you go. On that depressing note, that's episode one.
What do you want to see happen this year, Stepdad? Either for your team or the competition proper.
For the competition proper, I would like to see the game keep evolving. You know, there's been lots of talks of crackdowns or rule changes or this. I think if you look at those in isolation, yeah, each and every one of them seems a little bit silly and definitely fucking annoying. But if you look at the evolution of the game as a whole over the last 2 years, I think all of these little tweaks and changes have done such a good job of moving it away from that bastardized fucking wrestle thing that Melbourne started to turn it into, and then every club followed suit with, and more towards a game that rewards athletic skill and fitness and you know, the occasional piece of individual brilliance. Like, Tommy T doesn't have the season that he had last year, 2 years ago. He just would have been fucking wrestled into submission and wouldn't have had the chance to perform like he did. So,
well, he also wasn't on the field because he's fucking injured.
Yeah, he's injured. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's players I'm not going to name names because it's not my go. It's not my fucking go. But there's players that, you know, they've been injured a lot more than Tommy Turbo over the last year and a half.
Mate, leave Adam Reynolds out of this. Fuck's sake.
So that the evolution of the game as a whole further towards something that rewards athletic sporting performance rather than exploiting rules to control the meta.
How about you, Glennie? Can be for the competition or for your team.
Similar to where Jay was headed, I think the evolution of the game, but specifically at the pointy end of the competition with teams like Penrith and the Roosters, even South, you know, South have got some big challenges to stay at the level they were at, given Bennett's gone and Reynolds, etc. So, I think it's a challenge for Ivan Cleary, given how good Penrith's been over the last couple of years. Now that they've won the comp, the target on their back is that much bigger, and teams, when we talk about how the game's evolved, and Jay just mentioned, you know, Melbourne turned it into a wrestle fucking George St. Pierre type fucking ground and pound sort of situation.
Bad thing though.
But, and now you've got a team like Penrith, it's, you know, that off the back of their defensive ability, they play some scintillating attack. You know, the teams, you know, the really good teams will play to their strengths and try and nullify what teams like Penrith do. The middle of the packers will try and evolve to say, well, and the teams that aren't as well coached will say, well, fuck, that's what we need to do. There's, the NRL, in large part, is very reactive to what people deem to be working. And I think clearly what Penrith are doing is working. I don't know that there's a talent pool big enough for too many teams to be as good as Penrith are. But, you know, the Roosters are coming back as well. And, you know, how do they evolve their game to stay ahead of the pack? So it's those little nuances which I enjoy watching play out over the course of a season. And for the Tigers, put some fucking pride back in the club is what I'm looking for. You know, last season was horribly fucking disappointing and culminated in probably one of the darkest days of the fucking of the club, which is saying something because it's been some fucking shit times over a long time. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk, as there always is with the Tigers, unfortunately. I wish they'd shut the fuck up and put their heads down there and they, you know, and get the work done before they start talking about who's being unleashed and who's training their ass down. But they've made some good moves, and let's see if it turns around to an improvement on the field.
Nice.
What about you?
I'm a simple man. Simple
pleasures. Yes, you are.
I just want to see all the players go out there and have some fun and nobody get hurt. That's what I really want. And Trent Barrett to be sacked by round four. Manly play him in round three.
I'm on board with that.
So if Manly can be the coach killers and kill Barrett, I'd fucking love it.
Fucking but killing the cunts.
But I was looking at the draw thinking, you know, what if Manly flog him in round three.
Do you sing that song while pleasuring your wife, Glenn?
Well, it's a deep cut, like a listener back in like 2013 remixed something like when I was singing a song, I made a little song up about Coach Kill, or Glenn made a song up about Coach Killing.
No, it was you.
And he remixed it and made it like a little EDM little song. So I had to dig into the archives for that one. But I was looking at the draw and I was like, well, okay, Manly, if Manly can flog the Doggies in round three, does that mean that Trent gets fired at that point? Who have they got next? Can he redeem himself? And I'm like, holy shit. So I look at the NRL draw and the Bulldogs, hang on a sec, the Bulldogs play Manly round three, Storm round four, Panthers round five, Rabbits round six.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So if he makes it out of that stretch alive, I'll be very fucking surprised.
He will, simply because, and I'd forgotten this, but somebody pointed it out to me a little while ago, that the sad thing for the Bulldogs as a club is they're still controlled by having factions within their board. And he, to get Trent, one faction won over the other faction. Or sorry, to get rid of the coach before him.
Yeah, it's to get rid of pay it was. Yeah, but I think with Gus coming in, he's been given the reins of, you know, everything.
Exactly, which more cements Trent's spot as one of Gus's favourite sons.
Yeah, I think Gus will get really fucking tired of it if the results aren't there and it directly affects him. Like, it's one thing for him to be, you know, coordinating the Panthers or coordinating the Warriors and watching from afar as his boy is getting fucking smashed from pillar to post. But when he's responsible, you know, for results, then... You know, I think his patience gets, you know, ends a lot quicker than it would otherwise. I
mean, but see, he's not, though. And this is what Gus does very well. He separates himself from results. He's not going to be there and be like, well, the Bulldogs aren't winning, so that makes me look poor. You know?
No, but I mean, his job is to build the is to build the club, you know, in the direction of success. And I think that he'll... Very quickly, if it becomes clear to him that it's not going to happen with Trent there, then he'll want to move on and get someone in there that, you know, does represent, you know, potential success sooner rather than later before he fritters away. Because this year, more than any other for the Bulldogs, they've invested a lot of fucking money into some name players and things like that, and, you know, people that will expect the results to come. This is not like first step in a rebuilding situation for the Bulldogs. They spent massive coin to get guys like Fox and, you know...
100%. Yeah, I also don't think that... I don't think Gus is pitching it as it's a finished product either.
No.
Especially with Marnie coming and...
Yeah, you know, they've got to start moving in the right way, though, real quick.
Absolutely. Mate, I agree.
They can finish with a spoon this year and Trent is safe as houses.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't know if they can take another spoon.
That is a big call.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, he might not go in round four, but if they're getting the spoon again, I don't know if you'll see the season.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, that is it. That's full time for episode 444. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, head to thisweekinleague.com/links and you get links to all our social media communities, Patreon and more. Best way to support us, of course, is to become a patron at patreon.com/twillnation. Come in and join the fun, additional episodes. And if you haven't been a patron in the past, coming up on like 100 additional episodes in there in the archives for you guys to listen to, so it's well worth jumping on board. I've got a bunch of new patrons just over the last week or so, and so I just want to give out a special shout out to Stephen, Adam, Joe, Sean, Mitch, Ben, and Joshua. Thanks so much for joining, and it's really through the support of our patrons that we can do what we do. So we thank you very much. Now, any closing words, fellas, before we shut this one down?
No, I think we've covered it all. Looking forward to the footy coming back, and depending on how the result goes, it was at 7:35 PM on Saturday. I may or may not look forward to the next episode of this show.
Yeah, it's always the most fun part of the. Fun part of the week when you get your win and you're like, oh well, great, I don't have to fucking cop it up the ass on Sunday night. But
oh yeah, because I'm sure you're very concerned about how you cry me a fucking river.
Hey, look, mate, it's a very even playing field in 2022. Anyone can win on their day. You can't take anything for granted, Glennie.
I feel like that sentiment may change dramatically after this weekend's games.
Well, on that note, I'll talk to you fellas again on Sunday for the wrap-up.
Let's do it. Can't wait.
See ya.
Later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.